So lots to talk about over the last little while. Before we get into the stories surrounding Aaron Sebia and Lind, Mariano Rivera is the best ever by how much?
By, what would be the equivalent of a country mile in Canada?
Yeah. Well, I think a country mile.
Dude. Yeah. It's not even close. When you look at the history of the game, there are so many names that pop up that could be argued as the greatest starting pitcher of all time. There's no one in their right mind that can argue that Mariano Rivera is the greatest relief pitcher, closer of all time, and that his cutter is the single most dominant pitch in the history of the game of baseball.
Did you think anyone would ever get a farewell tour, never mind a Yankee being kind of honored at Fenway Park?
No. And I'm honestly kind of surprised, even though it's a classy thing to do.
Yeah.
I'm shocked and awed by the fact that Boston would do it. But then again, he did have the most blown saves against any team against Boston. So,
right.
You know, and there were a couple of them in that epic comeback when they were down 3-0 and came back and won the ALCS. So what are you going to do? Maybe you should say thank you.
Nice touch. I know Toronto crowds get ripped a lot, but a nice touch when he entered the ball game yesterday. When the Sandman entered, looking for a four-out save after the disappointment of blowing a 3-0 lead, the Toronto crowd still got up on its feet and gave him a standing ovation. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was one of the classier things I've seen from the Jays fans, for sure.
So it's Hiroki Kuroda, Todd Redmond tonight. JP Arencibia made Twitter explode. And, you know, he didn't have a hell of a lot to do. I mean, he was a part of the comeback, and that was part of the frustration last night. But the strikeout to end the game seemingly was the cherry on top and almost the near end of this season, was it not?
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm wondering why he continues to do interviews and you know, speak in public, because all he does is shoot himself in the foot even more with the fans. The one that I found interesting was the revelation that he's got bursitis in his knee and that he's kept quiet about it all year, and that could be, now he's using that as an excuse for the problems with the bat. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're not going to use it for an excuse, why do we know about it? At least Ricky Romero had the decency to wait until after. In fact, I don't think he ever even addressed it publicly. The Jays told everybody that he was having a cleanup in his arm. He never used that as an excuse. I don't know why JP all of a sudden is using the knee as an excuse. The bottom line is you know, the stats don't lie. We ran it last night.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, and he's either dead last or near dead last in every season, all the seasonal categories. What the stats we didn't run were his cumulative stats and how he ranks in baseball history. The one that jumps out at me that tells me that he's going to probably finish the year under 200 is the 147 batting average on the road this year. 13 points lower than the previous MLB low in the history of the game, Darren Johnson at 160. So he's hitting below 150 on the road, and it's the worst number in Major League history. And there are also several other numbers of his that are near or at the bottom in Major League history. And for us to sit, for him to say that we shouldn't worry about whether or not he'll be productive in the future, that's absolutely ridiculous. What are we supposed to do? Forgive three full seasons at the major league level where he basically was given a scholarship to be the starting catcher? You're not going to win with a guy who can only hit, and he's flat out not hitting. So what are you going to say to that?
Yeah. And I will say this. This is the one year that has been a colossal failure at the plate. The other years haven't been as bad at the plate. In fact, he's come through in the clutch in a couple of those years, but those numbers this year have fallen too. I guess the question is, did he do it because he wants to stay?
You know what, and this is my opinion now.
Yeah.
I think he craves and desires the approval of everybody in Toronto. I think he wants to be the darling of the city. I think that's what he motivates him more than anything else.
More than money, more than being
well,
good.
Well, obviously the money had something to do with it. He's in an arbitration here, and
right.
let's be honest.
Right.
What's his agent going to take into arbitration?
Oh, I know.
Charity work and you know, 20 home runs a year? He's not a productive player. He's a terrible defender. He's getting worse. I don't care what he says. He's getting worse behind the plate. And offensively, he's a one-dimensional guy. And for me, if you're going to be that poor in every other category, you better hit some home runs. 20 is not a great total. I don't care if he thinks it's a good total. When you strike out as much as he does, when you have an on-base percentage as low as he does, you better hit 35 or 40. I would accept Adam Dunn-like numbers from him, but he's not even close to Adam Dunn. And Adam Dunn, according to the Zonber metrics number of run production, he's producing over a run per game for his ball club at a 205 batting average.
Right.
So I don't really care about Adam Dunn hitting 200. I don't care that he strikes out 200 times a year, because when he hits it, he does something.
Right.
And to me, when you look at his approach at the plate, I tell you this, and you can mark my words, the skill and the strength and size of athletes in today's game, if you went up there every single time trying to hit a home run and you got 450 plate appearances like he has, you'd hit 20 homers, especially in the Jays ballpark. The 20 home runs that he's hit are not – that's not an impressive feat to me. If you know the game of baseball, it's not that impressive, especially when you couple it with his other numbers. Now, if he had a high on-base percentage, if he had 75 to 100 RBI, if the OPS was solid, if he was a good defender behind the plate, yeah, you'd be like, okay, 20 homers, you know, 100 RBIs, 75 RBIs, those would all be acceptable numbers. But 20 home runs, whoop-de-doo.
Okay.
So what? Anybody could go swing for the fences.
Greg Zahn joining us here on Tim and Sid, and this is enthralling to me. But to be fair, in the article where he talks to Shai Davidi, he did say he's got to get better. He recognizes that this year was not exactly a success for him, either behind the plate or on the field. I feel I need to add it because you're crushing this dude.
Well, what do you expect me to do?
No, I know. I don't think you're being unfair when it comes to this year.
Hello, Captain Obvious.
Right.
Yeah, he get better. Are you
right.
Kidding me?
Right.
Come on.
But I just want to say, like, he's not saying, hey, this is just the year. I'm a run producer, and this is what I do, even though he's said that in the past.
He's not a run producer. He's not a run producer.
I know,
he's not.
I know, but I just don't want him to be portrayed as that's what he said in the Shai Davidi. And we'll post the article.
No. Anybody can read the article.
Right.
They can also probably Google what he said about Dirk Ahers and I.
Right.
It's funny to me because, you know, I heard rumors that he, you know, demanded a meeting with Paul Beeston and tried to tell the front office that Dirk Ahers and I weren't the way to build a fan base. Well, I got news for everybody. You know, our ratings continue to go up. And the team's record continues to go down. So I don't know what that means, but it sounds to me like people tune in to watch the show, and they like what we're doing. And honestly, I've been a big fan of his for years, and I tried to defend him in a lot of different situations, but I'm not going to lie. Once he threw me under the bus, and it wasn't just me, there were a lot of people that started digging into the seasonal numbers.
Right.
You know, he gets what he deserves. And honestly, I'm not saying he can't be a productive baseball player, but if the Blue Jays are serious about winning, he shouldn't be the starting catcher next year.
Okay.
Because you got to have a guy that can play defense first and foremost. If you get offense out of your catcher, gravy, but you got to have a solid defender. And honest, he's hanging his hat on his durability. He's durable because the Jays don't have anything better to run out there. If they had a better option, he'd be sitting on the bench.
Well, here's the deal, too. And I know we're up against it, Jeff, but I'm enjoying this conversation. Less than a year ago, he was good enough to let one of the top prospects go to New York in the R.A. Dickey deal. Like, what? 4 years ago, he was the savior being handed the keys to the Porsche. Like, what's changed?
I don't know what's changed in his mind. All I know is, you know, people talk about how hard he works. People talk about this and talk about that. I don't care how hard he works. I want results at the big league level. The only time you talk about a guy's work ethic is when he isn't performing on the field. They make excuses for guys. I know guys that show up 15 minutes before batting practice and hit 300 every year. Lance Berkman is the first one in the clubhouse, or the last one in the clubhouse and the first one to leave every night, and the guy rakes. He's had a monster career. It doesn't matter. It's about production at the big league level. And I just don't care. I don't want to hear any more stuff about, oh, you know, he does this or he does that. What does he do on the field to help the Blue Jays get closer to a championship?
Right.
Nothing.
And I think that the conversation, there was going to be a JP Aaron Sebia conversation before the season was done. It just happened that Shai Davidi had that conversation.
That's fine.
And he struck out to end the game, which was probably the worst thing that could have happened to J.Pierre and CB.
And you know what? A lot of people think I'm out to get him. I'm not. All I'm doing is reporting the facts, and the obvious ones are sticking right in my face. And, you know, I would be more than willing to accept a public apology from him anytime he's ready to give it to me, but I'd still tell him to his face, if the Jays are serious about winning next year and you want to send a message to the fan base that you're serious about winning, you got to find a new starting catcher.
I think that's loud and clear right now. My job here, and I think I do it with Sid all the time, is to try and be fair to everyone and give both sides of the coin. And right now I'm struggling to find the other side of the coin.
It's you can't. It's not, and it's not your fault. I know you're trying to, but you can't. The year that he's had has been so dismal. In fact, you could probably rank it in the two worst seasons by a major league catcher in the history of the game, with more than 400 plate appearances. The numbers just flat out don't lie.
The idea is that the outlier? Is this year the outlier? Is there still, because I think there's still talent there. It's whether or not he can find that talent at the big league level. And that's the question going forward. Zonnie, always appreciate you coming on. And on short notice today, you're my dude.
Take care, brother.